welcome to episode 40 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Robin, Andy, Amy, Sandy, and Lindsay. We're actually all here for once. It's great.
Yay.
Yay. You may have heard us refer to the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival as the most wonderful time of the year. This year is as extra special because it's the festival's 20th year, and we couldn't let the occasion pass without planning our own little celebration. There's some lead time between when we record and when we post, giving our awesome producer Heidi time to fix all of our goofs. So this episode is being recorded just after Disney released full details on this year's festival, but we want to add a disclaimer that by the time we air, there may be even more goodies announced. So with that said, let's talk about the festival as we know it and tell you our big news. Let's get started. So let's start with Robin. Tell us when the festival is. What time of year are we talking about?
It is in the fall. It starts on September 25th and it ends on November 16th. It is a lot of fun.
So
I've never been to it. It's a great time to go.
I've been to it, so I feel kind of silly asking this question, but what is it? Give us like a synopsis.
Okay, I'll ask for you.
Okay.
What is it?
I remember that was for our conference last year, and they were setting up for it.
Yeah.
But you know, those of us who haven't been, what is it?
Well,
Sandy, you probably can.
So, Lindsay, jump in if I'm wrong here. So, you know, the World Showcase around Epcot has, I can't remember how many countries.
11.
11 countries. They bring in like 20 extra countries in kiosks, and they have things like Dominican Republic, Hawaii, Peru, like all these, you know, Scandinavia. They have all these different booths with little tasting portions of different foods and paired up with wine or frozen drinks, or they have craft beers now. And it's just, you can just make your way around the world and eat and drink everything. And it's really fun to go with a bunch of friends too, because then you get to taste a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
So, and it's in there with like, you know, about $5-ish portions. If you're on the dining plan, you can use, your snack credits for a lot of it. Not everything, but a lot of it. So it's a really good, fun, social time.
And just to clarify, since we are travel agents and we don't want to, look like we don't know what a country is, we say they add extra countries, but what it really is regions. Cause there will be like Florida is represented and then Scandinavia is,
Africa.
Yeah. And so, it does run the gamut of like different types of cuisines more than, you know, but some of them are countries and then some of them are not. And then in addition to food, there's wine, and in recent years, they've been adding craft beer. Mm-hmm. You knew we had to talk about alcohol at some point. So.
Yeah, there's like a whole beer garden.
Yes.
Yeah. Andy, you'd love this. Yeah.
So international beers and American craft beers are both represented. And Samuel Adams really brings out the big truck, as well. They'll usually do some of their special, stuff at the Food and Wine Festival. And then, there's usually some Florida beers there and then a few others, you know, sprinkled in and out.
Most people, when they think Florida, they don't really think beer, but, some of the Florida breweries do have tie-ins with, you know, some of the big companies down there, and they've got some great breweries in the Panhandle area and in Central Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, and some organic breweries, you know, using interesting ingredients as well. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to go down and try. Now, you said, sort of, they're about $5 for the portion. The food portions? Is it a smaller portion?
It is,
sample size. And they range from $3 to about $8, depending on what you're getting. So sometimes it'll be two or three bites, just enough to share a little bit. But that's great because you're not filling up and you're not committing to a big plate of something before you know how much you love it.
Half the fun in it, I imagine, is sharing with people.
Yeah. The other thing they offer are little workshops and expos and extra ticketed events for wine and dinner pairings and cheese pairings and things like that. And there's a dessert.
Cheese, yay!
It's a wonderful celebration of everything tasting.
That's great. You get all this in one relatively small area.
Yeah.
Well, and it's,
the cheese is alone around the world is enough to pick my curiosity.
In previous years, they've kept it just in the World Showcase area, but I am so excited that this is the 20th anniversary. They're adding 4 new booths, and they're expanding into the future world. So we're actually crawling out of it.
Yeah. It's food from the future?
It is, though. They're flash freezing it, and they've got,
just like a logistical question, so I'm going to fire at you. A really simple question answer. Is it really crowded? Like, are these booths crowded?
The weekends can be crowded because locals really like it, and they show up a lot. I think your typical Monday, Tuesday during the fall is going to be not that bad.
You can just walk around. Okay, next question. So you go from booth to booth. Mm-hmm. You just get whatever you want for $3 to $8.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Beer, wine, food, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, this is all over Epcot? Is that what you were saying, Lindsay? This is all over Epcot or a certain area of Epcot?
Traditionally, it was just around the World Showcase, but now this year they need more room, so it's moving out into the Future World area. One fun thing I love to do every year is to go to the Festival Center and get a passport. And it has each individual region, each individual marketplace's menu and little check boxes and little passport, the place to get your stamp in each country. You can go around and get a stamp in your passport. So
you could even know ahead of time maybe what each thing is going to
say.
This is definitely a plan it out. If you're a foodie, if you love food, if you want to know what you're eating, because there's so much there. There's like 300 different things. You can't eat it all.
And it's all day. Like for this whole time, it's all day and all night through this whole time period.
So World Showcase opens at 11, where Future World opens at 9.
And back to your crowds question, that's something that I often recommend is go at lunchtime if you really want to avoid crowds. I mean, dinner, the nighttime is really fun. You've got illuminations in the evening. And of course, that's more of a time where people would be drinking beer and wine. It can get a little rowdy actually at Epcot, during this time as well, especially on the weekends. But if you really just want to explore the food and you want to be able to see the whole time, because it also gets dark, you know, nighttime tends to do that. Sun goes down. So you can actually eat lunch at these food kiosks, just like a food truck rodeo or anything like that, where you would go and sort of stop and along the way and pick out what you want and eat along the way. And I've never made it more than halfway around before I have to
you need a couple surrender. Days.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a couple days and a few people that are going to do
it. You need a couple trips.
So what do you say to the people who don't want to partake in that but want to visit Epcot? Like, does it get in the way?
No, because if you're not hanging out, so I went there 1 year on the last weekend of Food and Wine Festival. Crowds were a 10 on the calendar, you know, like the crowd calendar, like highest they could be. I parked in a part of Epcot I'd never been in before, you know? Like, I had never seen this parking lot used. Did feel crowded, but we still were able to get through, you know, the lines and stuff. But if you weren't doing the food and wine stuff and you were just in other parts of the country pavilions, no, it wasn't that bad at all. Epcot is huge. So it looks like it's going to be crowded, but they move people around pretty well.
They move people through the lines very quickly as well. I mean, there are a couple times where they'll temporarily run out of something and you'll have to come back. But it's a good thing, too, because it'll tell you where the good food is, where the really good food is.
Andy, I hear you trying to ask a question.
I think this is great. Obviously, the fall typically was a quieter time, but having brought this kind of festival in, this is a way to get sort of people interested in what was a quieter time of the year. What really appeals to me is, I love that Epcot's my favorite park and all of these, Walt Disney World parks anyway. Purely for the fact that, you know, I love to travel, I've studied foreign languages, and I like to try foods from around the world, which you can do year round at the standalone pavilions, the ones that are there. But bringing in all these new countries, I mean, I've heard that Poland is represented Scotland on its own just represented.
Scotland, Australia, just go down Patagonia.
And you've got it all in one location. You don't have to sort of seek out sort of, I mean, how many Australian restaurants has anybody ever found?
Other than Outback, right?
Well, I'm telling you though, it's really cool, the placement of that Australia booth right as you're walking in, entering the World Showcase. I have to get a lamb chop every single time. Because you smell it. You just walk in and the smell of the food from each of these booths is just...
Yeah.
I think I would just stay in Mexico. Isn't there that tequila bar there?
Yeah. Well, you know, Amy, you could do a tequila tasting, like a special tequila tasting and pairing.
Because that's the thing I really want to do.
We know you do.
They do have, but when you talk about the special events you can do, they have celebrity chefs. There's a show on ABC called The Chew, and they're going to be taping live during October, and it's going to air for like a whole week. And like Lindsay was saying, they spilled over into Future World. They've got two booths that are around The Chew. One is based on sustainability and, you know, like growing your own herbs and things like that. And they're using herbs that are grown in the Land Pavilion for some of the dishes there. And then they have the Chew Lab, which is, like you were saying, the science part. They have this one drink. I forget what it's called, a smoky flower or something like that. I think I put it in the notes. They flash freeze a hibiscus flower for the garnish.
The smoking then, hibiscus is what it's called.
And they serve it in this glass with like smoke in it.
And Andy would probably like this. They also have a liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle with warm whiskey caramel.
Ooh.
Yep.
That does sound pretty good.
I would like that. I would knock Andy out of the way for that. That sounds fantastic.
We're going to share as we go around.
Not my chocolate.
So, you know, the chocolate is so one of the things that I also like about Epcot is the fact that the pavilions that are there year-round are staffed by people from those countries. Now, these new tents that come in, they're not.
No, and in fact, yeah, some of those guys are being brought in from restaurants around the, around Epcot, yeah. And they sort of admit that, you know, and I was kind of disappointed because they, like, there's a Greece pavilion. It would have been cool to have, you know, Greece represented, and yeah, it's not, but,
Stavros cooking.
Yes. Spiros was not there, but yeah, so that, it does like that authenticity. And, you know, I would say some of these foods, some of them are kind of typical things. Like in France, you get escargot, which is, I guess, exotic, but if you eat at a lot of French restaurants, you've probably stumbled across escargot before.
Yeah.
You know, it is a great chance though, because you only get like two of them. You really have been afraid to try it. It's a great opportunity to do so. Yeah. So some of the other, I mean, there's a lobster roll, right? And
yeah, that's in the American Pavilion. There's a lobster roll. That's my favorite use of a snack credit. If they still have. So tell me, this is a question I have for you, Andy, because okay. I was coming across this when I was reading about this stuff, and I don't know what the heck this is. What is haggis? And
haggis! Haggis!
Yeah,
haggis.
You know, Amy?
You don't know what a haggis is?
No, and
it's very flavorful, but a lot of people are a little bit scared to know actually what's in it.
So let me tell you what the description is. First of all, it's called haggis with neeps and tatties. Don't know what any of that is. And
yes, I do. I know what all
of it is. So they were saying that it's not, this year it's not vegetarian like it's been in the past, and then it's meat. So I don't know what that means.
So tell us, Andy, what are we eating?
Explain this to me.
Well, tatties and meeps. Tatties is a Scottish or Northern English terminology for potatoes.
Oh, well, I eat those.
And meeps is the Scottish word for turnips.
Okay.
Yeah, so what do you call them here? Rutabaga? I guess that's the closest thing.
Or
so it's mashed potatoes and mashed rutabagas.
Okay.
Yes,
neeps
and turnips. The best Scottish accent. And if you can order it like that, it's very close, they probably wouldn't understand you, but you'd have fun trying particularly after a few craft beers. And the haggis, it's sort of spiced meats and usually a lot of organ meats and vegetables sort of done boiled in a sheep's stomach.
In a sheep's what?
Stomach.
Oh, God. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Sheep's stomach tied up and boiled.
That is not something I would eat. Oh, my God. Well,
it's the national dish of Scotland.
I wonder how they made it vegetarian then. That's interesting.
It's a good question.
Not so authentic for that one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, haggis is not vegetarian normally. No. It's not vegetarian friendly at all. I mean, it's, basically sausage.
I will say, I was ready to pick my last supper last year with the the crispy pork belly and black beans from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And it was so, so delicious. And this year they're bringing back Dominican Republic, which was there in 2007, has been gone. There is a little bit more, I mean, I guess for someone who doesn't tend to eat exotic fare a lot, this is my opportunity to venture out of the norm and try those things.
It's a great way to experience things that you want to try on a daily basis.
It's such a great, friends trip, like to get a group of friends to go, because no matter where you are on the scale of food and wine, there's going to be something there for you that's, worth trying. So, you know, while your friend is venturing out and trying haggis or escargot or whatever you deem to be really wild and out there, you can have the cheddar cheese beer soup from Canada and the quesadilla, which incidentally, I had a quesadilla from the Food and Wine Festival one year. It was a quesadilla with chorizo in it. And my friend was with me, and she passed it by. She's like, you can get quesadillas anywhere. I was like, yeah, but it looks really good. Oh, my gosh. It was, like, the best quesadilla. It was so good. I let her try a bite. She was like, dang it. I chose poorly. Yes.
This is the ultimate way to end the argument of where are we eating. I don't know. We didn't want to have to eat.
Exactly.
I don't
know.
So if somebody goes, so you're going to, no matter what, if you're just there for the food and wine, you're still paying for your entrance into Epcot, correct?
Yes.
Regardless, you have to buy your Epcot ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You can't say I'm just here for the food and wine.
No, you can't.
Gotta ride the rides. Okay.
You can't. I mean, and many people do. And some of these things do cost extra. Like I attended one of the Sweet Sundays a few years ago with the guys from Baked, the famous bakery in Brooklyn. It was fantastic, but it was extra. We got a lot for that. We got to sample, I think, 4 or 5 of their desserts. And, you know, we got, several of the recipes for what we sampled. And so, you know, we had mimosas, I think it was a Sunday morning thing. So,
prosecco and brunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So the extra things that you do will, you know, sometimes have a cost, but
I feel like they always are worth it.
What is the typical cost for something like
80 to 120? Mm-hmm. It varies, depending on how long it is, what kind of food it is. I think the cheapest one I saw was around $40 for the French breakfast kind of crepe thing. All the way up to the Party for the Senses where you can spend, they have 3 different levels for Party for the Senses. The cheapest is $169. If you want a reserve table, it's $199. And if you want the wine garden area, I think it's $300.
Oh yeah, I've done it. It's worth every penny if you're going to eat it all.
Yeah.
Drink everything in the room.
Yeah, I mean, because your wine is included in that, and they have Cirque du Soleil performers there, and we did it 1 year. My husband and I did it for our anniversary, and I will say we couldn't find a place to sit. So I would go up a little bit and get at least the reserved seat, unless you have people that will just stand there and hold you a table. With 2 people, it's kind of hard to do that.
So again, I'm the dummy. Like, is this all stuff that you have to do ahead of time? You can't just go and say, I want the Party of the Senses.
Yeah, you can start booking it on July 30th.
Any of the things.
You can just walk up to the booths, you can shop, but if you want to do any of the special events, you want to book ahead. Sometimes you can get something last minute, but,
Check and see.
They do tend to sell out.
Especially if it's a real famous, chef or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you're just going down just for regular old food and wine, you can just go. You don't have to worry about capping crowd. Okay.
Right. And there's special music as well. They do the Eat to the Beat concert series, which is generally, artists that have recently to not quite as recently been, hugely popular. And
Rick Springfield is on the list.
Oh my gosh.
Totally brilliant. Worth going for that.
Air Supply. Tiffany is new this year. The weekend I go.
This is when you find out how old we are.
Yes, exactly.
The weekend I go is always Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and they are awesome. They are so much fun. So that's a really fun time. This year they've extended it an extra week. They used to end it with the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. Lindsay and I both ran it last year, and it was crazy crowded that weekend with the race and the locals and the last weekend and everything. And now they've extended the festival another week beyond that. And I think that is a really good idea, and I'm interested to see how that affects the crowds that weekend. You know, if it's not quite
so bad. Another logistical, you touched on it earlier. You said that if you're going to go down for this, you shouldn't take just one day. You need more than one day to kind of experience it all.
Well, I kind of think that with Disney in general.
If you're a real foodie and you really want to experience the Food and Wine Festival, yeah, I would say that you want to plan a couple of days at Epcot. Because there's only so much you can eat. And you know, I say that kind of lightly, but it is actually.
The engines cannot take anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a whop of thin mint. But, you know, it does. It gets to a point where you sort of have to waddle out of there and just say, I can't do anymore. Yeah. And, you know, and then. Yeah.
Well, I have a few multi-generational families, and what's going on is the grandparents are watching the kids one night, and the parents are going, they only have really one night to do it, and they're going to experience as much as they can in that one evening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going with a bigger group and you have somebody else to watch your kids, that's a good, you know, pick one of the nights, especially during the week, to go and experience it. At least a little bit rather than none.
And you know, like Elizabeth was saying, when I go with my kids, I prefer to go earlier in the day because she was saying it can get kind of wild at night. People do get pretty drunk and you know, there was some of that going on. So if you don't want to see that, then go during the day. And I think it's perfectly fine for kids during the day. And then they can still do the Agent P adventure, which is kind of like a little scavenger hunt where they get the little device and they have to answer clues and run around little countries. And so that gives you a good chance to kind of hang out in a country and them like run around and search for things. And, that was like the best invention that Epcot ever made.
Yeah. I really like the idea of it.
Yeah.
And drinking around the world. That's the both worlds.
And although all the pavilions do have snack foods during the year and you can sort of eat around the world, these are smaller portion sizes with lots more representation. So it just sort of takes that experience to a new level. Yeah. So I think we need to start talking about our special event during Food and Wine. We need to sort of announce that because we're getting to the end of our time. So, Sandy, would you do the honors?
Yes. So, we have a group going to Food and Wine Festival in November, the 5th through the 9th-ish. And we have special rates available at Beach Club, which is really, really a good place to be if you're at the Food and Wine Festival. Yeah, you can pretty much walk out the back. You walk out the back of World Showcase, and you're there.
Crawl.
So we have Beach Club, we have rates at Port Orleans Riverside, and we have Pop Century, so there's something for everybody. If you're familiar with the dates, it's the weekend of the Wine and Dine Festival, which is always sold out and very hard to get into, so...
That's a race.
That's a half marathon. There's a new race in Orlando this year called, with an organization called Race 13.1. And they're doing a race that Sunday, and they've been nice enough to give us a special code for our listeners.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we get a 10% off discount, and we'll put it in the show notes. It's a little bit lengthy for me to say here. And then the really, really big thing that I'm so excited about. Lindsay, do you want to tell it?
We have a special Illuminations dessert party planned for all of our guests. So you can purchase that. It's an additional $40 per person.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the Thursday night, right?
Yeah. Thursday the 5th.
Yeah. Thursday the 5th. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some extra special goodies planned for you that evening in addition to having the best view of Illuminations, I personally think, in World Showcase.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with World Showcase, we're going to have part of the island that's between the UK Pavilion and the French Pavilion. So when you're coming up over that bridge, and if you're staying at Beach Club, it's really close to Waddle Home.
So you're going to get a dessert bar that we kind of got the taste of last
So there are this like tables of desserts, little buffet, small dessert plates in case you haven't eaten enough that day at the Food and Wine Festival. And then, and it's just a Whopper Thin Mint. And then of course you have the great view of.
Yeah, you don't have to stake out your spot an hour or two ahead of time. It's really good. So yeah, it's very exciting.
Good job, girls.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're interested in rates, just contact any one of us and we can get you that quote done. Any of us who are your regular travel agent or who will soon be your regular travel agent, we would love to help you with that. That is our show for this week, so we welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away. Or finally, you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would obviously love to hear from you. We have given you lots of opportunities to contact us. On behalf of Robin, Andy, Lindsay, Sandy, Amy, and myself, Elizabeth, all of us, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.